It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by
Gordon Branch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Now, as always, I am your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can catch me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And of course, our show is also on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And hey, if you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a huge favor and hit that subscribe button, drop us a review, leave us some stars. I would sincerely appreciate it. And above all else, really, you know, share the podcast on social media. That would be super awesome and very cool of you, very cash money of you. So for today's episode, we will be joined by Space City Scoop site expert Anthony Duckett as we break down the return to play in Orlando. Anthony, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. How about you, brother?
Well, you know, we talked, I kind of prefaced this before we hit the record button, but, you know, I'm be a little honest, I'm a little heated.
Why is that?
Well, and I try not to do this, as I told you already, I try not to go off on a tangent at the top of the podcast, but you know what? I'm going to break the rules today.
Oh, Lord.
So I have an upstairs neighbor, and they just moved in like a month ago, and this upstairs neighbor is the epitome of what you think bad upstairs neighbors are, because they have been making such a racket at all hours of the day, every day since they moved in. And I finally, after sending a polite email to the leasing office saying, hey, can you please talk to this resident? They're being way too loud. Just before I jumped on with you, the reason I was a couple minutes late past 10 p.m. when we were supposed to start recording this podcast is I walked upstairs and knocked on their door, and I was like, I just had to let her know. I was like, what's going on in here? Turns out they have a sweet, lovable, big old dog named Mocha, and they play with her all the time. They got like ropes and toys and stuff, but when they're throwing those ropes and toys around upstairs, it sounds like an avalanche is coming down on my apartment. This is a big dog. This is like a Scooby-Doo sized dog. Like, she is huge. And so that makes it finally makes sense. But when I'm down here, like below them, it sounds like they're literally taking bowling balls and rolling them across the floor. And I'm sure people listening right now can imagine, you know, if you're listening right now, I'm sure you've probably had a neighbor, an upstairs neighbor, if you've ever lived in an apartment complex that has been that way. Have you ever lived in an apartment complex, Anthony?
Yeah, I actually do right now. I also have a 65-pound dog.
Okay, so you're that upstairs. Is there anybody below you, or are you on the first floor?
I'm on the top floor, so I do have people below me.
So you're just causing an echo down the whole complex, huh? Every time your dog's jumping around.
Well, so I'm not that bad as what you're describing your neighbor, but I certainly can imagine that there are times where when I'm playing with him, you know, where he can definitely get kind of rowdy. He can get kind of rowdy.
A rowdy dog to match the red rowdy Rockets fans. What a concept.
That's right.
Now, I got to know, what's your dog's name?
His name is Cody.
Cody. All right. What kind of dog is he?
He's a boxer lab mix.
Oh, goodness. All right. First off, I need a picture of Cody after we're done recording this. But
okay.
All right. I'll get away from the tangent right now. Now, first thing I want to do is I do want to kind of outline what Anthony and I are going to talk about today. So first, I just want to get Anthony's general feelings about this Orlando return to play situation, you know, all the news that we've got about it. Then we're going to talk some seeding predictions. I want to get into talking about the play-in tournament, the logistics behind that, and kind of get our ideas of what those teams are going to look like. And then I do also want to get into talking about home court advantage and how that actually matters now, or maybe it won't matter in these playoffs. Harden and Westbrook, and, you know, maybe looking for a signature moment from each of them come this postseason. And then lastly, the final thing we're going to cover is we're going to talk about coaching. We're going to talk about, you know, Mike D'Antoni and his future with the team, and the fact that Tillman Fertitta has kind of stepped away from that decision more or less. But first things first, Anthony, what are your general thoughts, you know, about this return to play in Orlando?
Well, the first thing is I'm happy that we finally, you know, come to this. We have been hearing all types of, you know, rumors, reports that were, you know, quite contradictory, which made it clear that no one really knew what was going on. I mean, we had heard that, of course, that some of the players wanted to return, and we had heard that, you know, some of the players didn't want to return.
Damian Lillard.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I'm happy that, you know, they were able to at least get, you know, some semblance of it. I don't really like all the asterisk talk, but I do understand, you know, the reason why people might may be inclined to say that, especially if a top seed like the Lakers doesn't win the title, you know, especially if the Rockets win the title, there's going to be a lot of, I think, unjustifiable talk about, you know, did they really deserve it? Did they earn the championship? But, you know, but forget all that. I'm just happy that at least we've got the league back in some sort.
Absolutely. And we're getting it back a whole day earlier than expected, because originally it was supposed to be July 31st was the return date. And then Woj dropped the it's not really a Woj bomb. It was like a Woj little like grenade with the news that we're moving it up one day. So
a whole
July
entire
30th.
Day earlier. That's going to make a humongous difference. A whole day early.
Honestly, one day sooner is not, I am not upset by one day sooner, man. I am ready for NBA basketball to be back. Now somebody hit me with a question. Kind of, they wanted some clarification about what this regular season return to play is going to look like, and, you know, what the 8 games are going to look like. And regrettably, right, we still don't have that information. That hasn't been published yet. The hypothetical scenario is that basically of the 22 teams returning to play in Orlando, if you're supposed to play one of those 8 teams, the Delete 8, which is what we've taken to calling them, right. If you're supposed to play one of those 8 teams in your remaining schedule, you would just skip over that game until you hit your 8-game total. Now, that doesn't particularly work for a lot of teams, because there's some teams that if they go by that measure, they would, you know, play 10 games or something like that, or it doesn't match up quite well, the scheduling with their other opponents and things like that. I remember immediately when it was announced, there were a lot of people saying, oh, well, this isn't going to work because of XYZ reason. They're still hammering that out. We don't know what the official schedule is going to look like yet. We just know that it's going to be some sort of 8 games, more or less. And
yeah.
So I apologize for whoever asked that. I don't have any more information on that, but that's what it's going to look like. And so those 8 games are going to be what decides the seeding headed into the playoffs, which is exactly what Anthony and I are going to talk about next. We're going to give our seeding predictions coming up in just a second. But first, I want to drop in a quick word from our friends over at Rock Auto. Look, with the ever-increasing number of makes and models of different cars, it's basically almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain, like, car supply storefront. Why would you want to endure the often pointless and sometimes really, let's face it, intimidating task of going in there, talking to the representative and being like, yeah, I need this or that, or, you know, just why? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. There's no risk. There's no worries that you're not going to find the part that you need. You can go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you there. They have an amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting with Anthony Duckett from Space City Scoop. So, Anthony, as I mentioned, headed out of that last segment, we got to talk playoff seeding. And for me, on my end, I went ahead and I kind of drafted my way too early, my month and a half too early prediction for how I think these seeds are going to fall. Even though we don't know what these remaining games are going to look like, we know that they're going to be against top tier opponents because you got rid of the worst 8 teams in the league. So any of those gimme games that you face a lot of, you know, throughout the regular season, you look at the calendar and you're like, oh, we're playing the Knicks. That's a gimme, except for the Rockets who lost against the Knicks right before the break. So maybe not so much of a gimme, but you know what I'm saying? You see those bad teams on the schedule and you're like, all right, that should be an easy dub. There's not going to be a lot of those games anymore because you're playing against the best 22 teams in the league, which means you're playing against roughly 500 competition or better in all of your remaining 8 games.
Right.
So I made my predictions, but as we were kind of discussing on your end, just off the top of your head, first things first, I guess, do you want me to roll through my predictions or do you have something you want to share first?
So actually you can go ahead and roll through yours and then I'll share mine after.
Okay. So I actually didn't deviate too far from what the seeding actually looks like right now. And I'll just roll through my eight and then I'll drop in a couple points of my reasoning for the eight that I picked. So first I've got the Lakers number one seed, no surprise there. Then I've got Clippers and then Nuggets. So the top three are the exact same.
Okay.
Following that, I've got our hometown Houston Rockets at the number four spot. Then to round it out, I've got the Thunder, the Mavericks, the Jazz all the way down at number seven. And then I do still have Memphis making the playoffs at number eight.
Okay.
And I will throw it in there. I think New Orleans is going to be the ninth seed and be in that play-in tournament against the Memphis Grizzlies. So my reasoning for that, and feel free to disagree with me if you want to,
sure.
But Bogdanovich was such a big part of that Jazz team that losing him, I don't think they have the front court depth to really be able to. I mean, he spaces the floor and he was such an offensive weapon for them that I just think defenses are going to be able to load up more on Donovan Mitchell. Rudy Gobert isn't an offensive weapon. And I just don't see the Jazz. I just don't see them being able to hang on to that fourth seed moving forward. But the rest of those teams, the Mavericks were playing pretty hot there at the end. The Thunder have played consistently well all season, surprisingly so. And I do think that the Rockets are poised to make a pretty significant jump forward in the seeding. Now, does that mean they become the second or third seed? I don't really think so because I don't see a reason for the Lakers, Clippers, or Nuggets to have a drop-off in their play. So that's just kind of where I'm coming from.
Okay. So I actually have a similar order in the top four with you. Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets. I have the Rockets also at four. I do have OKC at five. I actually have Utah going down to six, Dallas seven, and Memphis holding on to that eighth spot. I also agree with you on the Pelicans getting the ninth seed. The reason why I believe that Dallas is not necessarily going to jump, and I think that they're going to actually struggle, I think, is because we've heard that Luka Doncic is out of shape. That's actually a really big deal, obviously, for that team. I mean, Luka is not only their MVP, but – you know, he's certainly an MVP candidate this season. I just don't know how they're going to do, how will they fare with, a hindered Luka? Will he have enough time to get in shape? You know, what will that even mean? What would that look like? So I'm not as sold on Dallas. The Rockets, I believe they will jump. They have a tough schedule for sure. I think six of the teams that they're facing were teams with winning records. The only two were Portland and Sacramento, but the teams that they're facing that have losing records, that's actually been a big problem for them this year. The Rockets lost 13 of the 24 games to teams with losing records this season. So I'm not exactly sold that those two games will be a shoe-in, but I do believe that, we're playing against, Dallas, Milwaukee, Indiana, Philly, Toronto. I do think that those games will be victories. Well, Milwaukee, I'm not exactly sure about Milwaukee, but I certainly believe that Dallas, Indiana, Philly, and Toronto will be victories. Lakers, we'll see what happens. They're a veteran team like the Rockets. I've actually thought in general that the veteran teams will come back, ready to play. They'll come back in better shape because, players who've been in the league 10-plus years, this is not their first rodeo. They're not new to this. They know what they're doing. They're going to certainly keep themselves in shape. They understand the magnitude, the seriousness of this, this return. So we'll see what happens. But in general, I tend to agree with much of your order, especially the top four.
And just those records, so that potential schedule, again, nothing is locked in stone yet, but that – hypothetical schedule for the Rockets. I went ahead and so Ali Kambijani of The Athletic, originally tweeted it out. The hypothetical schedule, if the Rockets were to play their next eight opponents who are not a part of the Elite Eight, would be the Lakers, the Blazers, the Kings, the Mavericks, the Bucks, the Pacers, the Sixers, and the Raptors to round it out. And then I went ahead and I wanted to look up what the Rockets' records were against those specific teams headed into this break. And so you've got Lakers, we were 1-1 against. Blazers, 1-2. Kings, 1-1, buzzer beater. Mavericks, 1-1. Bucks, 0-1, opening night. Pacers, 1-0. Sixers, 1-0. Raptors, 1-0, all in favor of the Rockets. And keep in mind, the first loss against the Lakers also took place before small ball was officially the new reign in Houston. So some of these wins and some of the losses and some of the wins, I should say, you have to take with a grain of salt because they occurred much earlier on in the season. And, you know, you're not exactly playing the same squad or even the same style of basketball anymore now that you've transitioned fully to small ball.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's a tough schedule, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a challenging slate, like you said, if that gets confirmed. But to me, that actually would be a really good test, because you know the first eight games, it's really kind of almost like a preseason. You know, it's weird because you know this hiatus will have been longer than a normal offseason, and these eight games, they definitely matter as it pertains to playoff positioning and playoff seeding. But it's been so long since they played that it's almost like a preseason mixed in with like a down the stretch run. It's really weird.
Yeah, and I made the argument the other day on Twitter that I didn't really make an argument. I just kind of threw up a tweet, but in some comment thread somewhere, you know, as I do. But there was I kind of think that, you know, home court advantage, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, maybe some of the gimmicky ways that we can make home court advantage matter this year, but by and large, I don't think home court advantage necessarily matters, but I do think the seeding and where the teams fall in their respective brackets matters a great deal. And I think we'll see a lot of jockeying for specific spots because teams are going to be avoiding other teams, trying to get, you know, slide into the spot of the bracket they feel most comfortable in. And I still lean, I think the Rockets are a better matchup for against the LA Lakers than I do the Clippers. You know, I think the Rockets may very well get beaten at their own small ball game when they do inevitably probably face the Clippers if they make it that far. So I wouldn't, if the Rockets, if they fall in the four spot and Lakers are still holding down the one spot, I don't mind that as a second round matchup, Lakers-Rockets, because you're going to have to go through both LA teams at some point to make it to the finals. And I'd rather just get the Lakers out of the way first, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I certainly agree with that. Like you said, you're going to have to face the Lakers at some point. We assume that. And it's probably a valid, you know, prediction based on what we saw out of them this season. So, you know, either way it goes, you're not going to be able to – it's not going to be like in past years where it's like – I remember last year we were like, man, if we could get on the right side of the bracket, then we could, you know, hold off the Warriors into the conference finals. You know, at some point, you know, you're gonna have to face the Lakers or the Clippers in the second round. You know, so really, you know, there's nothing wrong with going ahead and you know, taking care of one of those opponents earlier on in the playoffs, you know?
Absolutely. Now, coming up, I do want to talk about the Memphis-New Orleans matchup and how that play-in tournament would work around the 8th and 9th seeds. But first, let me get in a quick word from our friends over at Built Bar. So I was talking about these bars with some of the other Locked On hosts the other day, and somebody actually recommended putting them in the freezer, surprisingly. And I went ahead and, you know, I was kind of like questioning it at first. I was like, what? Really? And so I tried it, and honestly, it's actually really incredible, and I definitely suggest you guys check it out too. So if you're ordering these bars, which I highly recommend you do, you know, check out the double chocolate mousse. It's my personal favorite. You know, these protein bars, they're delicious, 100% covered in chocolate. And if you order a box of them, get the multi-pack box, or if there's a flavor that sounds really good to you, just order a whole box of that specific flavor. Do me a favor, take a few of them, stick them in the freezer, see if you like them cold better than you do just, you know, sitting out room temperature. Either way, they're going to be delicious. I've been eating them both ways, but I can see now like kind of it when they're cold, they've got this like refreshing crispiness to them almost. It's really something else. So you can go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll actually get $10 off your first order. So remember, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. And we are back in here for our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Chatting with Anthony Duckett from Space City Scoop. Now, Anthony, I meant to get to this last segment, but first off, if Luka comes back out of shape, can we start calling him Fat Luka like people call James Harden, Fat Harden? or used to call him fat. They can't call him Fat Beard Man anymore. That's not a thing. He is so slim down. He is Slim Jim Harden. You can step back into a Slim Jim now with Slim Jim James Harden. But if Luka comes back fat, I better see people calling him Fat Luka on the timeline.
Yeah, we better see that for sure.
All right. Well, past the Fat Luka jokes, talking about this play-in tournament. So for those who haven't read anything about it, basically the way this functions is whichever two teams in each conference, East and West, whichever team is within four games back of the eighth seed will be part of a play-in tournament for that final spot. And what it is, it's a double elimination tournament, which means that the eighth seeded team, the team with the higher record, or the better record, I should say, only has to win one game to clinch their spot, whereas the ninth seeded team has to win two games. So in the two teams that Anthony and I both picked, the Memphis Grizzlies and the New Orleans Pelicans, in that scenario, if that's the play-in tournament, Memphis only has to win one game or potentially even the second game to clinch their spot. So Memphis can still drop that first game and then win the second one and be the eighth seed. The Pelicans have to win two in a row against the Memphis Grizzlies to take that eighth spot. So Anthony, in this hypothetical matchup, who are you picking?
So in the matchup between the Pelicans and Memphis, right?
Yeah, to win the play-in tournament. Where's the smart money going for you?
So in my opinion, it's going to be a tough series, and I think it'd be a really, exciting series with both, rookie phenom Zion versus Ja. But I personally think that Memphis, would get the upper hand. And the reason why, I just feel like Memphis, it's just their time. New Orleans certainly has a solid cast, a solid core of Ingram, Drew Holiday, of course Zion. But, to me, based on what we saw all year throughout the season, it's hard not to give that to Memphis.
I feel the same. One, I became a Ja Morant stan as soon as he went on the timeline and started, slandering Golden State. Talking mess about Iggy. That was incredible. Like, I don't follow many players that aren't Houston Rockets. First off, I follow every single Rockets player on Twitter, but I don't follow too many players that aren't active Rockets players. And Ja Morant's one of them. Even though he's a rookie, he just, after that, I was like, all right, I got to stay in tune and make sure I keep up with what he's saying on Twitter, because this guy is worth following.
Right.
I think I'm in agreement with you, but again, I really wish that this was a 7-game series. That's what I wish. I wish that this was somehow a 7-game series, because I would love nothing more than to watch at least 4 games of Ja versus Zion. I think that would be an incredible series. Unfortunately, we don't get that. We get at most 2 games.
Right.
So I think I lean Memphis, but, and I mentioned this before, how poetic would it be for New Orleans to clinch that eighth spot and then face the number one seeded Lakers in the first round and be able to get revenge on the Lakers, all the Lakers who were traded to the Pelicans for Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis has to face his old team, has to face the skeletons in his closet. Zion gets a chance on the big stage against LeBron James. That would be
That'll
a
be
series
nice.
For the ages. It would be a great 4 games.
That would be nice. Even when they played against each other head to head this season, they were primetime matchups, and they were worth the billing too.
I have a buddy who is from New Orleans, who is, a huge New Orleans Pelicans fan, and he has completely talked me into the idea of the Pelicans potentially upsetting the Lakers in the first round. And I don't want to buy stock in it one bit, but if it were to happen, no skin off my nose, I would be 100% behind it.
Well, of course, as Rockets fans, we certainly, we certainly would like that. I'm not sure I'd go that far, though.
I'm not sure I'd go that far. Yeah, no, I said it would be a great 4 games, and that's it. Like, it would be a nice sweep. It'd be cool to see Zion, try a little bit for 4 games. But anyways, I don't really, I like that the NBA is experimenting with it. The play-in tournament, I appreciate that. I appreciate the creativity that goes into it. This is the time to take those risks, to take those chances. But the other thing that I do want to get to before we get out of here is talking about what happens if a player gets diagnosed or you know, sure, with COVID in the bubble, because all these players, they got to get to the bubble, they got to quarantine by themselves in their rooms for 36 hours, and they got to get tested, and there's all these precautions in place. But what exactly happens if a player gets diagnosed in the middle of play? You know, we're in round one, right, round two, whatever. And the rules behind this are pretty simple, pretty straightforward. A player that's diagnosed has to then self-quarantine for 10 days and has to test negative twice to be able to return to their team. So I want to know which players, and obviously, you know, James Harden gets diagnosed, that sucks. That's going to, you know, pretty much game over for the Rockets, or LeBron James, or Luka, whoever, Kawhi.
Right.
What role players would be a huge blow to some of these playoff teams?
Well, from a standpoint of the Rockets in particular, I mean,
yeah, like, if we're picking one Rockets role player, who is the most important role player on the team?
So I've always thought that that was Eric Gordon, and I know that this season we didn't see any version of Gordon, you know, compared to what we saw, you know, in each of the last three seasons that he's been here, especially last postseason. And I know that he was battling injuries and, you know, battling health issues, and apparently he also may have been a tad bit overweight, which we saw that, you know, during the live games. But I've always thought that Eric Gordon was really going to be the X factor. So I think that if it just so happens that the Rockets sustain any type of, you know, significant injury, or not injury, but significant positive, you know, COVID case, I do think that Gordon would be the person that would be able to continue to, I don't necessarily say, you know, step in, because like you said, if Harden tests positive, you know, God forbid, then that's pretty much over. Or Russ, I would say, same thing, that's pretty much over, you know. But I do think that Gordon could make a huge difference. I also want to get back on, I know it's just, you know, kind of going backwards a little bit. I also want to kind of get back on, you know, you were talking about the NBA, you know, finally experimenting with this idea of the play-in tournament. And I agree with you when it comes to, you know, it's good to innovate. We always hear Daryl Morey speaking about how he wants, you know, the league to innovate more, experiment more. But I'm just curious, would they have done that if it weren't for Damian Lillard, you know, pouting or crying, saying, I'm not going to play if we don't have a legitimate shot? You know, does it even happen if he doesn't say that?
I think that's a really good point. You know, Dame is one of the, you know, stars of the league, and you know, I know we don't think of, you know, Dame as necessarily one of the top, you know, he's not one of the top five stars, but he's up there. You know, he's one of he's one of the recognizable faces of the league. And so, you know, for him to come out and be, like you said, very public about his disdain for coming back to an NBA season where he doesn't have a chance to remotely be in the playoffs, first, my immediate reaction was, you should have played better to start the season. That's just kind of where I was coming from. But I do understand, right? It didn't make sense for teams to come back if they didn't have a shot. So I like the direction they went with the Delete 8, just saying, all right, you guys had your shot. There's no, you know, we're not doing a huge play-in tournament. The only reason the other teams are, you know, close in the West is because they're close to that four games back metric, which I think is the right way to do it. And then obviously, if there's teams that tie, you know, in that ninth spot, then normal tiebreaker rules will go into effect. So the regular, you know, head-to-head and divisional records and all that stuff to orchestrate who actually becomes the official ninth seed for the play-in tournament purposes. And just to get back to, I have a slight counter. I about the role player for the Rockets who, you know, if he went down with COVID would be the most detrimental. I'm actually going to go, I think it's Robert Covington. I think Rocco, the dynamic of this team was built, you know, obviously small ball is built around PJ Tucker being the five. Yes. But that doesn't work if you don't have a defender like Rocco, you know, coming over on the weak side, helping him out, kind of clogging the lane, double teaming the bigs. Just Rocco changes the entire face of the Rockets defense so much so that I think he's even more impactful than PJ Tucker on that end of the court. So if God forbid Rocco comes down with a positive COVID case, I think that would be a huge blow to the Rockets. Like, even more so than losing, you know, an Eric Gordon or a PJ Tucker, I think Rocco is what really unlocks their ability to play small ball basketball.
So I certainly agree about Rocco's value to the Rockets, especially on the defensive end. I mean, he's 2.8 blocks a game. you know, while playing for the Rockets this season, you know, and that's just an element that, you know, with him being able to roam almost like a free safety, you know, that's something that you can't replace at all. But I do feel like I like what we saw, you know, from Jeff Green. Now, Jeff Green's not nearly the defender, that Covington is. But I actually thought that he stepped in really well and actually played well for us. I feel like he showed that he should get more minutes and that he can be counted on for the Rockets off the second unit.
I definitely think he has earned that backup five spot, and, you know, we'll get that 10 to 15 minutes per game. And if this small ball lineup is here to stay come next season, I would welcome the return of Jeff Green on a minimum deal to continue to be that backup five right behind PJ Tucker. I would also welcome the play of Isaiah Hartenstein a little bit, as would many Rockets fans. But I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But I would welcome Jeff Green. So before we get you out of here, Anthony, go ahead and drop all your lines. Let us know where we can find your content at.
Sure. So you can find me on Twitter at @A_Duckett or our Space City Scoop channel at @Space_City_Scoop as well. Where, you know, we generally are posting daily, even during the hiatus. We've been able to, you know, dig deep in the well and find content to certainly, you know, appease Rockets fans and keep the Rockets fans engaged.
Yeah, always great content over at Space City Scoop. Definitely follow Anthony and Space City Scoop if you're not already doing so. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it as always.
All right, that's going to do it for part one of our conversation with Anthony Duckett from Space City Scoop. Be on the lookout for part two. And as always, thank you all so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.